Born and raised in the border city of El Paso, Texas, George Rodriguez creates humorous decorative ceramic sculpture, which address his identity and community. He is currently featured in the 12th season of PBS Craft in America Storytellers episode. And here to talk to us about his adventures in ceramics is George Rodriguez. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, Marina. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So, George, what's it like to go from, well, I mean, you know, you're one of us and now you're like on PBS, which to me is like, I mean, does it feel like that to you?
Definitely. I mean, it's like, who wouldn't aspire to be on PBS? It's such an amazing educational national network. And, you know, I never imagined myself being on that platform, but I'm thrilled. I'm very happy that they want to showcase my work and just to be part of that catalog.
Tell me about your upbringing, because I was reading your bio and you're one guy growing up surrounded by a whole lot of women here in our community. Tell us about that.
You know, I was born and raised in El Paso, and I was raised by my mother and four older sisters and my tía, who all, like, you know, were in the house with me. So a lot of my friends would ask if I was like spoiled or pampered. And I think to an extent I was, but also there was a pressure to take care of everybody. I think even growing around very strong women, I still felt that Mexican masculinity, machismo a little bit, where I'm like, okay, I need to figure out how to hold my own in this loving family and community.
So how did you do that?
I think it first just like started by listening to what my family had to say and like really paying attention to them. And luckily for me, they were just so supportive and they really just gave me a lot of affection, which I think I really benefited from, but also just kind of gave me independence within that family structure. So I wasn't really babied in the sense, I was just like nurtured in a really
nurtured. That's the right word. And then, I mean, I don't know. I mean, around here, at least there's something about men that are raised by an entirely household of women. And I mean, I don't know. I just met you, but I feel like you've got some sensitivities toward women that most other men don't have just by the virtue of how you grew up. I don't know. Can you attest to that? Or is that, am I just making that up?
No, I think that's,
they're different.
Yeah, I think that's true. It took me a while to realize that. But when I meet somebody for the first time and the fact that I'm actually looking people in the eyes and listening seems like a very trivial thing. But when I let them know that I grew up with four older sisters, they're like, oh, that's why you're so attentive.
They're like, got it. So tell us about that, because you're the first one to graduate college. You're, I mean, the baby, right? What was that like? Or did you have a hard time convincing your family that this is what you were going to do? Or was that natural?
I wasn't the first one to start going to university. My sisters did, but I was the first one to graduate. So I saw some examples of education past high school. And so I always knew that I wanted to go to college. And I love the arts, I've always have, but I didn't really know that that was going to be my career path. I went into graphic design and then education, so teaching, but I just found myself in the ceramic studio and art studio. And it took me a while to finally convince myself first that I wanted to pursue a BFA in ceramics and in the arts. And then it's probably self-pressure, but I was a little bit conflicted in telling my mother, just because I thought, how can I make a living and support myself in the arts, you know, with a degree in the arts? So I finally told her and she was just like, do what makes you happy. I'm here to support you. Just make sure you finish. I think the goal was just like graduate and finish.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people that decide like, I'm going to do art, that's the hardest thing, I think, to be like, how do I tell my parents this? You know, I told my parents I'm going to be an English major and they freaked out. Like, how do you even make a living, right? But I mean, everything's fine. We're all alive. But to make the decision to be an artist, that's brave.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really funny because even after several years of pursuing my career in the arts, I had my first like gallery show and I told my mother about it and she was like, she was happy. She didn't quite get it, for me, it was the biggest accomplishment. But for her, I was like, okay, good job. But when I got like a part-time teaching job, she was like
She's over the moon
because that means security, right? She's come around and seen that I've hopefully have made the right decision, but it took a little bit of convincing.
Tell us about what you're doing now. And then, I mean, you're on PBS, hello. So like you're doing something, right? but yeah, tell us about where you are now in the world.
I was living in Seattle for 12 years and really kind of building my art career, primarily in ceramic sculpture. And I grew up like a wonderful network of people and through a lot of like supportive communities, both in the ceramics community, but just in the art world in general. And then I kept contact with my friends and art colleagues back in El Paso. So I have a lot of connections there, specifically at UTEP with their ceramics department. And Vincent Burke and Carrie Doyle, who kind of run those programs, the gallery and the ceramics department. So I just kept connections and, you know, slow and steady, my work became more visible and people started to pay attention and then started to purchase. And then I was invited back to UTEP in 2017 to have a show at the Rubin Center. I had a couple of museum shows in the Northwest. And currently I'm in Philadelphia as an artist in residence at the Tyler School of Art and Architecture. So,
and I hear Philly is bumping, like it's got a great art scene from my understanding. I haven't been, but it seems like it's pretty vibrant.
Oh man, it's so good. It is like buzzing with energy and it's, you know, it's creative energy and all the arts, music and theater and visual arts. So it's just like you feel energized by the people around you, which is really lovely.
That's so amazing. Okay, so why ceramics? How'd you get there?
You know, I actually started as graphic design at UTEP, but you were required to take all these intro classes, like intro painting and intro metals and intro ceramics. And I actually, I don't know if Vince, who teaches there, knows this, but I took ceramics first just to get it out of the way. Like, I didn't know anything about clay. I wasn't really interested. So I'm like, I'll do that one first just to kind of like get
just
it
like,
done
check
with.
That box, move on with your life.
Exactly. But I loved it. You know, I knew nothing about the material and just the possibilities of what you can do with it, from pottery, functional things, to sculpture, which is really what drew me in, just making figures, making, manifesting these things out of a block of clay. It was just like, it hooked me.
So I took that same intro to ceramics class and there's this part of like this piece of like loss that you have to be okay with, that when you put something in the kiln, it may not come out. And I've seen that heartbreak and experienced that heartbreak, but it's something that I think ceramicists need to learn how to process through, no?
Yeah, it's you know, you let go of a preciousness of an object, because sometimes we get so attached to especially things that we make. I know that has happened to me, but ceramics teaches you that you can't hold things too precious. Once you make them, they kind of like move beyond you. Same thing with like potentially showing or selling or like accidentally breaking a piece, right? And that was actually one of the things that kept me engaged, that idea that I lost so much work as an undergrad. I lose a little less work now, but I still lose work.
It's that fragility or that like, okay.
Exactly. And there was a moment where I just found it so challenging because I couldn't get it to work for me. And I think that challenge kept like pulling me in as opposed to letting it defeat me in a way. I was just like, okay, I can do this better. The first one broke. I can do it again. And the second one will be better.
Just like next level, almost like, I like that, like, because this is the way things are supposed to be. You will arrive at the piece that you're supposed to manifest.
Yeah, exactly. It's not quite like destiny, but it is this like perseverance and like faith in the process almost.
So let's talk about the process, because the pieces that you make are really, really large. So logistically, do you make them in pieces and then put them together after, or how does that work?
Yeah, so some of the work I am confined to, because I work traditionally in ceramics where I'm firing all of the work, I'm confined to the size of the kiln that I'm working with. So depending on where I'm working, that limits my capacity. But some of the pieces are like 8 feet tall, 10 feet tall, and a lot of those are in sections that stack together or sometimes get epoxied together. So they are built separately and then confused after the fact. But I guess it all depends on what I'm making and what I'm trying to say. My kiln can fit a 4-foot figure in it. So usually I'll make 4-foot sections if I'm trying to go bigger than that scale.
Okay, George. So what would you say to a ceramic student in the middle of a pandemic attending UTEP right now? What are the words of wisdom to those young folks in art school right now?
All I would say is that nothing is like we are accustomed to it being. So nothing's air quotes normal, if there is such a thing. But sometimes these like unprecedented positions allow us to be creative in different ways and learn just how to continue forward. So make the best of your situation. Keep going. Don't despair because you don't have access to things that you were comfortable with. Just figure out how to find that new comfort. And then once you do, grow beyond it. And that's how you'll continue to like evolve and keep making and keep things interesting for yourself, really.
So what are you doing to keep things interesting for yourself? What's next for you?
I'm working on a big collaboration with 14 other artists.
Oh, wow.
And I'm doing a lot of the managing of that collaboration. So that's a new realm for me, organizing people and figuring out how to...
That's hard to do, especially with artists.
You're telling me.
Hats off.
But I love it. It's been a challenge. It's something I'm not quite used to. So I'm learning as I go. And the artists have all been wonderful. And even though they have different communication styles, I'm learning from that as well.
That's so amazing. Today, my guest has been ceramicist artist George Rodriguez, and we can all catch him on PBS Craft in America. He is featured in the Storytellers episode. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Anita, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.